Blog Talk Radio.
Allowing it to speak truths to us. And that's the title of tonight's lesson, Spiritual Truths. You know, and there's so many truths in the Torah, in the Word of Yahweh, that a lot of us and a lot of people who have no understanding of, they just pick it up and read it and think it's a book of do's and don'ts, you know, and they have no understanding of it. Especially a lot of the atheists, a lot of the skeptics, and, you know, a lot of these naysayers, when they read the scripture talking about a donkey speaking. How can a donkey speak? You know, there's so many things that they come against the word of Yah with because of lack of understanding. And I dare say that most people who do read the scriptures, very few of them truly understand it, what it's talking about. Very few. And the only way we can understand it when we read it is Abba Yah has to give you that understanding. We can't just pick it up and start reading, or we'll just have knowledge of a book. No different than reading your favorite book of the month. You'll just have knowledge of it. But understanding will be lacking. So we will start off in Romans 7:14. Let me get my glass. And prayerfully you have your scriptures with me, because we're going to be reading a lot of scriptures tonight. And this is the very first thought that Abba has laid on my mind. Romans 7:14. And this is our brother Shaul talking. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. So what is brother Shaul talking about? But we know that the law is spiritual. Understanding that he is a Hebrew, he is an Israelite, first and foremost, he understood who the word, who the law was given to. The law was given to Yisrael, and it wasn't given to nobody else. So, but not even all Israel have the understanding that it is spiritual. But only those who was called out, those who were anointed with Yahweh's spirit, understood within the nation of Israel that it's much more than what we read. It's not just if in the beginning Yahweh created the heaven and earth. It's much more to it than that. There is an underlying lesson there. There is a spiritual truth there. Let me read also just a few more scriptures to open up that understanding towards that it's a spiritual understanding that we must get from reading the Torah. And we're going to go to Galatians 4, You probably heard these, and we're going to start at 22, verse 30. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by the promise. Which things are an allegory? There we go. An allegory. I'm going to look that word up for us so we can get a little bit more understanding for those who may not never heard that word or just have no understanding of that word. And some of us may do. But I remember my spiritual leader teaching, and he said he would teach it as if there was one person in the room who did not understand it. So he would teach in the most simplest terms. He wouldn't try to use big words, because the scripture talks about that. So it may not be somebody who understands, and but they don't want to say that, hey, I don't understand what you're saying. So he took it upon himself to make sure if there was a two-year-old in the room, they will understand the word of Yahweh. And now I believe that that's the job of all his Kohanim, all his called out ones. And we're in the Greek side of the concordance, which is G238, and it's allegorio. An allegorio compared to 58, to allegorize, be an allegory. So let's go to the Greek word itself. It's from 234, a primary word. Else, i.e. different, in many applications, more, one, another, and some, and other, wise. So it's else. So in other words, we know and understand what else means. There's something more to what the story of Abraham and Hagar and Sarah. So let us get back to the story and find out, with this allegory, what else was Abba Yah trying to show us through this story in the Torah with Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar? It is an allegory. Remember that, what he said. Let's start at the 24. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. Reading in Genesis, we would never know that Sarah pointed to a covenant. Hagar pointed to a covenant. You would never get that understanding out of reading that. But through Shaul, through another prophet, Abba Yah allowed us to know and allowed Israel to see that, hey, what took place in Abraham's life with his two wives, it means much more than what we just read on the papers. Yes, it's historical history. We can glean from historical history, but what is the spiritual understanding of it? That's what we're talking about tonight, family. Spiritual truths underneath the words of the Torah. 24 again, which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which generative to bondage, which is Hagar. But Jerusalem, which is a... Okay, I'm sorry. For Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage, which with her children. 26. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou burn, that thou bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate have many more children than she which hath an husband. Now, we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of the promise. Remember that, family. Isaac was a child of the promise, because we're going to come back to Isaac. And why was Isaac the child of the promise? We're going to come back to that. In fact, let me get a pen and something like that right there. Real quick. I'm going to print and read. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Even so it is now. Nevertheless, which saith the scripture, casteth out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. And I'm going to stop right there, but all that story in the Torah, it was an allegory. It happened, but Yahweh used their lives as he used the lives of Israel and many other people in the scriptures to show forth a greater revelation. How we understand this greater revelation is how we are connected with Yah. Because we can't go in here and understand it. Brother Paul picked that up on his own and said, oh my goodness, Hagar and Sarah, they pointed to the true covenant. No, he didn't do that on his own. Abba Yah had to give him that understanding. Well, let us move on. I'm going to go to 2 Timothy 3:16. Again, we heard this scripture before. 2 Timothy 3:16. 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of Yah. Now, I can stop right there, but I'm not going to read that. But I'm going to stop right there and give some understanding to that. If all scripture is given by inspiration of Yah, then that means Yah ordained those people's lives, moved on those people's lives, no matter how it went. No matter how Brother Joseph was treated by his 11 other brothers or 10 other brothers, because Benjamin wasn't around, that was Abba's will to bring out a spiritual truth. And Joseph understood that after he had to go through slavery, meaning he was sold into slavery, then he was sold to the Egyptians, then he was thrown into prison, and all that, he come to find out, hey, I will use my life so I can save other lives. But we're going to get into it because there's a much deeper story to that too. Remember, we're talking about spiritual truths, allegories through the Torah, so we can have some more understanding of the Torah. All scripture is given by inspiration of Yah and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of Yah may be perfect through furnishing, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Why? Because we hear it throughout the scriptures. I would not have you ignorant, brethren. I would do not want us to be ignorant of why we are doing a thing. You ask some of you call them our brothers, in the Judaism faith or in the Caucasian faith, why did they not eat pork? They can't tell you. But one thing I will say, you can say no because Yahweh said so. But there's an understanding to why he don't want us to eat these unclean foods. There's a deeper understanding to that. And Brother Kiefer, Brother Peter, he got a revelation of that. But that's another truth that we're going to bring out later on in the show. Maybe not this show, but in this lesson, because there's many spiritual truths within these pages. Many spiritual truths. Well, that Romans 5:14, family. No, I'm saying 15:4. I'm sorry. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So we want to understand, what is this patience? What is this comfort? What is this profitable for doctrine? What is this righteousness in the scripture? All these things that when we read in these last two scriptures, Romans, and we read in 2 Timothy, that Abba said in his word. What spiritual understanding are we getting out of this unless we have none? Or unless we're robotic with our relationship with the Father. It's regiment. You know, because, you know, some people, even again, the Jews, before they get out of bed, they say at least 10 prayers. Wow. They have to say, before they drink some wine, they got to say a regiment of prayers. Before they eat, they got to say a regiment of prayers. When I drink, before I drink this juice that the brother offered me tonight, I'll simply say, Abba Yah, bless it. Simple. I didn't have to go through a regiment of prayers, a robotic system of serving the Most High. Let's get back, though, family. That's another story. John 3. And I'm not going to say the Gospel of John, but if John 3, 1 through 12 is not none of the first the epistles. Chapter 3, starting at verse 1. We're going to read 1 through 12. And this is, again, there is a physical understanding of the word, and there is a spiritual understanding of the word. What we want to do, we want to understand both applications of the word. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Yahudi, or your Bible may say Jews. Then came to Yahushua by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from Yah. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except Yah be with him. Yahushua answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Yah. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Yahushua answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yah. I'm going to stop right there just for a second, because, you know, this is where our Christian brothers and sisters get, oh, you must be born again. You must be, and they have the understanding of once you take that baptism, you are born again, not having the understanding that it is a process. Your spirit, the spirit of the Most High, once it comes inside you, it is a process. Your body becomes the incubator, and it has to grow what's inside this body right here. And once you become born again, as the scripture says, this immortal will put on mortal flesh. I mean, take off this mortal flesh. You will change. That's when you're born again, because something anew takes place. Right now, we are not born again. See, they take that right there, and they tear the whole thing up, saying you must be born again. Again, no understanding. Because if that was the case, Yahushua wouldn't have never told his disciples in Matthew 24, you must be endured to the end. But if, right here, if you're born again, well, I need to endure to the end if I'm already born again, if I'm born of the Spirit. No, it takes a process within us. We must develop that Ruach, that Holy Spirit. We must do that. let me move on. But that born-again doctrine, you might have to question that if you're following it. And might ain't in it. You're going to have to question that if you are following that born-again doctrine, because that's not what he's talking about. Soon you accept the Messiah, you're born again. No, that's not what he's talking about. It stops a process. That's why he's giving this man this example. But let's finish. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. What spirit? The Spirit of the Father. What flesh? Our flesh. When we're born through our mother's womb, we're coming into the world. But when we're born with the Father, the Spirit, we don't have no more flesh. There's no more flesh. We have changed in the twinkling of an eye. And no, we're not talking about no rapture, because that's another thing that's not in the scriptures. No, he's not going to come through and whisk everybody away when tribulation comes through and people just going to be standing there. No, that's not what he's talking about. But that's another story, too. Sooner or later, Jeremiah 1:10 is going to get around to those stories. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listens, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? He still didn't understand what the Messiah was talking about. And listen, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do not know, and testify that we have seen. And ye receive not our witness. You got to hear the tone, how the conversation switched with the Messiah. He got upset with the brother. Because he's sitting here, he's talking to a man that's supposed to be learned, and he's trying to explain a spiritual thing to him, and he's not getting it. But here it is, you are elder of the people, and you're not getting what I'm saying. He's going to bring it up. We're going to get to it. He's going to say it. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? You hear that? Messiah said that there's earthly things and there's heavenly things. So again, we go back to the allegory that Brother Shaul brought out, how Sarah, Hagar, and they pointed to two covenants. But when we read that in the Torah, we have no understanding of that. We don't even see that. Unless Abba Yah opens up our eyes. Open up. When I say eyes, I'm talking about that spiritual understanding. And you're like, oh, you get that revelation. See, we're going to say something tonight. Abba Yah going to speak tonight. Because a lot of people think that the word of Yah has been stopped. It's stopped. It has stopped. It ceased. Revelations have ceased coming. But as long as Yahweh's people on this earth, revelation will not cease coming. It will always be. But a lot of people think that, oh, we don't live in biblical times no more. We out of biblical times. You unlearned person who think that. You unlearn. If the Messiah sat there and told us about some things that have not happened yet, the third temple have not happened yet, so are we not still in biblical times? The man of sin have not fully been put on the scene yet. This one world government have not been put in plan yet. But we out of biblical times. Scripture says that in end times, that the river Euphrates will dry up. That river been around since the beginning of time. When you go back in Genesis and read about it in Genesis, it was there, one of the four rivers coming out of the garden, and today it's dried up. Word of Yahweh still living, still prophesying, still revelation is still being revealed to his people. Brother said this Sabbath that we're just scratching the surface of the word. Man, we truly know absolutely nothing about the Creator. If he don't open up to us and show us, we know absolutely nothing about the Creator. I remember one day me and my daughter, we was talking about the word, and she was like, oh, Dad, you know a lot of scriptures. And I'm like, hey, I know absolutely nothing. So I gave an example. I told her about my spiritual leader, you know, and I'm thinking, what she think of me, I think of him, that the spirit is on him is like 10 times more than on me. And that, somebody going to say something about that. Oh, brother, you think, no, because the spirit that was on Moshe was 10 times more than the average man. The spirit that was on Samuel was 10 times more than the average Israelite. But that's another story. We ain't got to get in that because there's always going to be naysayers and people who do not understand the word. Let me get back to the story. So I said, look, even Brother Yaquiel, what he knew about the scriptures, if he went out to the biggest ocean in the world and took a spoon and dip that up, and all that I think he knows, that's all he would know, is a spoonful of knowledge of the Creator out of the ocean. And she said, well, you must know less than that. I thought that was real funny. I just bust out laughing. I wasn't offended because you're right. I didn't know less than that. If he's a spiritual leader and that's all he knows, I know less than that. Maybe take one of them droplets and put the droplet in it. That's what I know. But I'm not ashamed of that. I know that I'm him. I know that he chose me to do a work. And we don't boast in what we know about the Creator because we know absolutely nothing. He has chosen us. We haven't chosen him. But again, I'm going to read that again. If I told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Understand what the Messiah is saying. You can't even understand these physical things, man. So how I'm going to give you something spiritual? How I'm going to give you that if you can't understand these things from physical? I can't give you nothing spiritual. I can't. And it's many times you in conversations with people, you want to go somewhere, but you can't. And they're going to look at you like you're crazy. Oh, Lord, this boy here, he came out with something left field. You heard what he said? Huh? Son of Nun. What in the world is he talking about, the son of Nun? But that's a spiritual. We're going to get there. I'm not going to jump ahead. We're going to get there with some spiritual understanding. Where I finish at. Go to one more, Matthew 16. I mean, not one more for tonight, just one more on the understanding of there's a spiritual application and there's a physical application or understanding. Matthew 16, 13 through 17. This is, we'll hear the story. When Yahushua came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am, that the Son of Man am? And they said, some said that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, and others Jeremiah, forgive me for that. You know, That's another story too. When the Greeks translate everything and they end up with that S sound on the end. That's another story. We're gonna get to that too. In Jeremiah 1:10, we're gonna tear that down too. Because that's pointing to something too. Trust me, the adversary has given us things today that point to something. And a lot of us are unknown to it. A lot of us are unknown. I'll give you one example. One example, and you'll see a lot of our kids jumping on it. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you two. When they putting the fingers up with these two horns, they got the two fingers down. You know what I'm talking about. And the two end fingers are up, not even knowing that that's a satanic sign. And the sticking out of the tongue, which the Creator talks about in His Word. Go to Isaiah 57, talks about how you widen the mouth and stick out the tongue in affront to the Creator. But our kids are doing these things today, having no understanding of why they're doing it. So He has some spiritual truths out there too. Some demonic things that our kids and our people are attached to. How many people realize that this time of year is a very demonic time? How many people you think do that? This next time you go, if you're out, if you're not one who celebrates Christmas or Christ's Mass, look at a person and they have that celebrated and think to yourself, no, you ain't got to go up to them and say you're celebrating something demonic and look at them. But have the understanding to yourself that you are celebrating that's evil, something that's evil. Something that's giving honor and praises to his adversary, to the devil, Satan. But unbeknownst to them, they have no clue that it's demonic, it's evil. Just as evil as the man in Abba's eyes that killed 3-4 people is just as evil. Evil is evil in the Creator's eyes. But let me finish this story out when I stop it.
15,
told I keep. And he said unto them, but whom saith ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living El. I'm not going to use, we'll use Christ here, so if you was expecting that, we don't use that. We use Mashiach, which is Hebrew for Messiah, anointed one. Hold up. And isn't that something that if you want to translate the word of Yah over into English, why you just didn't put Messiah there? Why you keep Christ there? What's behind that? Who is behind that? Because there's an English word that means anointed one, the Messiah. You could use that. But you somebody chose to use Christ. That's why. Everything else in English? Just food for thought on that one, family. Remember, we're talking about spiritual truths tonight. And Yahushua answered and said unto him, and you hear a change, but with Nicodemus, he was upset. With Brother Kiefer, he was a little happy. He felt good about something. You ever hear one of your children say something and you was proud of them? You felt warm inside. You was excited because they understood something, they knew something, or they were shown something, and they got it. They got it. And even that's what I'm teaching my kids, especially the younger two, not the one that's in college, but the younger two, is my three words with them is to listen, comprehend it, and apply it. Those are my three words to them. Need you to listen first, comprehend what you just heard, and then apply it to your life. No different than what Abba Yah once taught us. Shema Yisrael. Listen intently. no different. And Yahushua answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven Understand. Kefa on his own merit didn't understand who the Messiah was. He was like everybody else around there. It wasn't because he had some great intellect. You know what? You look like the Son of God. That's who you look like. That's who I feel you are. It wasn't no feeling that gave him that. Like many people say today, well, I feel, well, I think, well, in my opinion, none of those things came into play with Brother Kefa, Brother Peter, understanding of who the Messiah was. What came into play was the Father, by his Spirit, revealed it unto Brother Kefa. So, to you naysayers, and to you who always say, well, show it to me in the Scripture, there wasn't no word in there for Brother Kefa to go back and look up and say, you know what, you know, yeah, that's him right here. At that time, there was no understanding of it. But it is understanding in there. But at that time, Kefa didn't know. So the Father, Yah, had to show him through the Spirit, through revelation. Now let's go to the patriarchs and see how in the three patriarchs, what understanding and what revelation can we get out of some parts of their lives? What did the Father show us in his word by the patriarch lives? Is there a spiritual truth there in the three patriarch lives? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? It's family. We're going to go back, because this is a long one right here. Not today, but it's a long series, because there's so much spiritual truth in this word that people are just not getting. They are just not getting. But thanks, Yah. Thanks be to him, that he wants his people to know and understand the spiritual truths of his word. Again, we're going to reiterate that all night. I would not have you ignorant, brother. So let's go to Genesis 17:5. Let's see what our father Abraham, one of the first things about him. We're going to learn. And we're just going to read first. Then we're going to come back and tell the spiritual truth about them. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And that's the scripture I wanted to read. That one right there. To hear that the Father changed our forefather Abraham, Abram, to Abraham. He changed his name in Abraham's life. What spiritual truth are we going to get out of that? Let's move on to the second one, because there's another spiritual truth in Abraham's life that's connected. And that's Genesis 25:1. And Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. Hold up now. He changed Abram's name to Abraham in his life. Abraham had more than one wife in his life. Let's see. We're going to skip Isaac, and we're going to move on to Jacob. We're going to go see if there are any similarities with his grandfather. Genesis, the first verse of Genesis 32:28, family. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince has thou power with Yah, and with men has prevailed. Hold up now. That sounds familiar than what we read a little earlier about his grandfather. Grandfather's name got changed. His name got changed. Let's see if there's any more similarities. I'm quite sure some of y'all know already. Some of y'all know. Go to Genesis 29:18. You might even know where I'm going at with this spiritual truth. Thank God for that. If you do know where I'm going at with this spiritual truth. Genesis 29:18, and Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And we know what the story with Rachel, right? He served 7 years, but Jacob Laban fooled him, and he ended up having to marry Leah, the first wife, right? Let's move on to 30:4. And this is after he married Leah. And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife. And Jacob went in unto her. So Jacob, just like his grandfather, had more than one wife. So they got two things in common. Yahweh changed their name. They had more than one wife. Let's move on to Isaac. And we're going to go to Genesis 25 for that. And then Isaac was the middle. We will get into that too, because if you ever notice, in the word of Yahweh, there are a lot of threes. A lot of things that come in threes. You know, even the secular world got something like that. And I guarantee most people don't even know where it originated from. You know, death come in threes. You know, this come in threes. They don't even know where it originated from. But in the scripture, a lot of things come in threes. Three kings in Israel. When they was a unified nation. Three patriarchs. So many more things. Again, we're going to get to them. We're going to show the spiritual truths behind these things. Isaac, we're talking about Isaac now, family. Genesis 25:20. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the siren of Pomeran, the sister of Laban, the siren. Hold up now. If we know anything about Isaac's life, he only had one wife. His name was never changed. Who in the world could Isaac point to? Why would he have one wife? His father had more than one wife. And his son had more than one wife. And we put him in the category with the three patriarchs. They are the patriarchs of Israel. We don't name Noah with the patriarchs, which he was, but we don't name him. The scriptures don't name him as the patriarchs. We don't name Enoch as one of the three patriarchs. Not even Adam, but these three patriarchs, the father, the son, and the son. So Isaac's name wasn't changed, and Isaac was also considered to be the promised seed, as we read earlier. And what was that in? Galatians 4:28. Remember we read that? That Isaac was the promised seed. Can you get that for me real quick? I keep that. So I can read. I'll read it when you get it. We read that. So who in the world could Isaac point to? His name was never changed. He only had one wife. Galatians 4:28. So Isaac pointed to, I'm just going to say it, the Messiah. Messiah has how many names? Yahushua. One name. Messiah has how many brides? One. Although you got a lot of concubines trying to jump on his bandwagon. He don't want no concubines. He wants one bride, and that's Israel. He only had one name, that was Yahushua. Yahweh did not change his name like he did Abraham, like he did Jacob. There was no need to change Isaac's name. Why? Because Isaac was the promised seed. Matter of fact, I got that. I knew I wrote them down.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Aki. You got Galatians 4:28.
Now we brethren, as Isaac was the let me read this again. Now we brethren, as Isaac was the children of the promise.
There you go, right there. That's all we wanted. He was the child of promise. That's it. So was Yahushua, the child of promise. Matter of fact, let me get Genesis 22. We're going to start at verse 22. And we're going to read 1 through 13, family. Years ago when I came into the faith, somebody asked me about these very scripture right here, matter of fact. And I didn't have an answer. I didn't know. I didn't understand. This was at least 16 years ago. I didn't have an answer. And he said, the question was, why would the father ask Abraham to offer up Isaac? He wasn't like, he's not like that. He wouldn't ask him to kill his own son. Why would he do that? And I ain't have an answer back then. But thank be Yah, I had one today. But this person was a believer in the Messiah at the time, not understanding that the Torah is spiritual. Genesis 22, family, and look at that. Genesis 22 talks about Isaac being offered as in sacrifice. And for those who have an ear, let them hear. That's another spiritual truth right there, family. As we keep going through it, Yahweh will open up many spiritual truths in this Torah. Many. We're just going to deal with the patriarchs tonight. And it came to pass after these things that Yah did tempt or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son. Listen to key words, family. Key words, thy only son, Isaac, which thou lovest, or just love, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and he went unto the place of which Yah had told him. Then on the third day, again, key word, family, third day, son thou lovest of the promise. Let me find my place again. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. That's another spiritual truth right there, family. But we're not going to get into that tonight either. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the donkey. And I said, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. That's a revelation right there that Abraham spoke. If you know the story, he just spoke of a revelation because he had no understanding of what Father is going to do, what Abba is going to do. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire and his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? You know, I've been asking that too. We walking off, you got wood, fire, and I know you need an animal to sacrifice. I'm going to wonder that too. Listen to what Father Abraham said. And Abraham said, my son, Yah will provide himself, key word, a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which Yah had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. If you listen to the story closely, Abraham was a man of age. He was well over 100 years old. So Isaac had to willingly lay on that offering. He had to willingly do that. He had to submit at one point in time in the conversation. Well, you is at our burnt offering right now. Because you listen, there's no way Abraham can tie his son down. There's no way he can do that in his age unless Isaac willingly laid his life down. What would that sound like, family? Spiritual truths. Remember what we're talking about. Let me read that again. And bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of Yah called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest Yah, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham took the ram and offered him unto for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Hallelujah. So that pointed to Yahushua, the lives of our forefathers. Neither one of Abraham or Jacob. Both of them had their names changed. Both of them had more than one wife. Isaac, the one in the middle, was the seed of promise, was his father's only beloved son. And he had more sons, But Isaac was his beloved son. His beloved. And he was willing to offer his beloved son. Doesn't that sound like somebody? I'm trying to find something real quick, family. Laughter. Yitzchak. I'm looking up his name, which is in the Hebrew section of the Concordance, 3327. Yitzchak, which is laughter. You know, when you, nine times out of ten, when you're laughing at something, when you just got this joy, happiness, that's what Isaac points to. Laughter. Does not the scripture talk about an unspeakable joy, which is in Yahushua HaMashiach? Remember that, though. Let's go. We all know. We heard this one many times. This is one of the most spoken scriptures in the world. We're going to John 3:16. Remember, he told Abraham, I'm changing your name to Abram. Abraham. And Abraham means a father of many nations. He said, because you're going to be a father of many nations. And that's point. Abraham points to the Father. He points to Yah, who will offer his only begotten son. And Jacob points to Israel, which his name, those who will prevail with the help of Yah. In the father, in our forefathers' lives, there is a spiritual truth in their lives alone about his people, about his anointed one, and about him. He would be that high father who offered his only begotten son. For Yah so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what that pointed to. That's what laughter points to. When you know you got something coming, oh, you rejoice, you enjoy, you're happy. It's laughter inside you. So in the story of our forefathers, it points to Yahushua and the Father, what the Father was going to do. But you can't read that in there. It's not in there. But Yahweh can show us through his Spirit. Let's move. One more. Two more, matter of fact. John 1, 29. John 1, 29 through 36. That's chapter 1, verse 29 through 36. Remember those key words. Yahweh provide, he will provide himself a lamb. The next day, John seeth Yahushua are coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of Yah. Remember what he said? Remember I said, listen to those words. Yahweh will provide himself a lamb. And it's the deeper teaching in that. But we ain't going to talk about that one tonight, but we're going to get into that too. Himself a lamb, which taketh away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is perfect, which is preferred before me. For he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. First and foremost, to Israel. And it's a shame that many Israelites do not believe in the Mashiach. Many Israelites today do not believe in the Mashiach. And if they just went through the Torah alone, just the first five books, he's in there, in there. The first five books alone, he is in there. It talks about him all through the Torah. What did he say? What did he say in John 5:38-39? He said, matter of fact, if somebody can get that for me, I'll keep. 5:38. I'm thinking it's 5:38. Let me see real quick. Oh, 5:39. This is what he said. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are that which testify of me. This is the Messiah speaking. But our brothers and sisters do not understand when they read in that Torah that is testifying of Yahushua. But we're going to learn that. Matter of fact, in the other one, 46 and 47. That's also when I'm talking about Moses. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me. For he wrote of me. Hold on now. Where in the world did Moses write of the Messiah at? We just read it. We just went through the whole story. But like he told Nicodemus, if I can't talk to you about earthly things, physical, you ain't going to understand the spiritual. You're not going to understand that. But when he told Brother Peter, flesh and blood have not revealed that to you, but my Father in heaven, he has revealed that to you. And this is another thing for our Christian brothers and sisters. You can't believe in the Messiah if you don't believe in Moses. You can't do it. You can't even understand who he is if you don't have no understanding of what Moses wrote. If you don't even believe what Moses wrote. For if you have believed Moses, not if you have read Moses, if you believe what he said, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Christian brothers and sisters, if you don't believe what Moses wrote, you cannot believe in the Messiah. Point blank. Israelites who do not believe in the Messiah, if you don't believe in the Messiah, you can't even believe in the Torah, because he wrote of him. The Torah is Yahusha. And we're going to bring that out too, because we're talking about spiritual truths. Because I was taught of that. Taught of people not understanding. Let me go back to one family. And then went on a tangent. It ain't me. Where was that, John? 29. Where I stopped at? 30. I'm gonna start at 30. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not. But hold up now. Was John born before Yahushua? How in the world he going to say he was before him? John has some understanding. He has some revelation. He knew who he was. Just like when Abraham looked up on the third day and saw afar off, he saw something. Yahushua said it in his own word. He said, Abraham, when he saw me, he rejoiced in my day. Huh? I'm paraphrasing that. My brother and sister can find it. We can read that. If not, that will be done. And I know him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. First and foremost, again, family. Therefore, I am come baptizing with water. And John bear record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it is and its abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he sent me to baptize with water. The same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending on and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Spirit. That's what John was saying. That scripture in John 8:56, y'all. I'm going to get that real quick. That I was talking about. When Yahushua said, Abraham rejoiced in his day. Hallelujah. Your father Abraham, John 8:56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. On the third day he saw. Remember that. Remember, we listened to key words. You go back to where I stopped. 34. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of Yah, the Son of the Heavenly Father family. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples and looking upon Yahushua and he, as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of Yah. Can you imagine that family? The revelation that our brother Yakani was given, brother John, to see the Messiah. Can you imagine the feelings that he had to have to see and know that that is salvation right there for not just Israel, but for mankind. The spiritual revelations that John gave him, I mean that the Father Yah gave him, to be able to see him. He said, as he walked. So that means John is sitting there in amazement. Wow. That right there, that's the Son of God. That is the one that was promised from Adam. He allowed me to baptize him with water, but he shall baptize with the Ruach, the Holy Spirit. Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. You can't imagine that. One more scripture, family. Luke 9. We want to Luke 9. And that's starting at verse 20 through 22. And we read one of these already. Just give it in another way. And he said unto them, for whom say ye that I am? And Peter answering said, the Mashiach of Yah, the anointed of Yah, the Messiah of Yah. He is the one that was promised, that Moses wrote about all throughout the Torah. And he straightly charged them, commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. Remember the word slain? We read that when Abraham was going to take Isaac. And the third day, Abraham said he looked up. Third day. See, we can't do that. We can't go in there and read the scriptures, and we can't get nothing out of it. All we're going to read was Abraham took the lad up. He got the wood, the knives, and the fire, and all that together, and he was about to kill a lad. And God came out of heaven and spoke to him with an angel and said, hey, stay thy hand. That's what we're going to get. We're going to understand. We're going to get the knowledge of what that story meant. But that story pointed to a greater revelation, a greater spiritual truth. Spiritual truths throughout that scripture, throughout it. And through the power of Yah, we're going to go through them. We're going to get some understanding of his word. So, family, I'm going to end there tonight. I just wanted to talk about the patriarchs and what some part of their lives point to. what some part of their life we can glean from and get some spiritual understanding, even up to date. I'm going to bid y'all shalom, and may y'all be with you.